Yes, indeed. Good morning, and thanks for the help you get from ASC Certified Technician Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive. We'll keep that running for you. Good morning, Dan. Good to see you.
Good morning. Good to be here.
A little chillier than it was a week ago.
You know, we've been talking about this day since October that it was going to come, isn't it? And here we are. If you got your car ready for winter in October, you need to do it again. Now it's been so long. But
as a matter of fact.
It was slow to come, but here we go, and here's a taste of winter.
Look at it this way. I know we had some snow last April, but it's almost the end of January.
Yeah, that's right.
Looking at it that way.
Our battery salesperson was grumbling a little bit because it's been so warm. People have... They usually get a big boost of sales with the first cold weather. So now this week, battery sales will be significant.
I'm sure they will.
Yep.
All right, if you have any kind of a car care question, give us a call or send Dan a text. The phone number, we've cleared them. The folks are calling in right now, 651-989-9226. Text is 81807. We saved some text messages, Dan, from last week, as you recall.
Oh, good idea.
And let's see if we can't help some folks out there who are kind enough to do that. Let's see. Did they say what kind of a vehicle it was? Oil sensor, they do not. Oil sensor started leaking. Got it home and fixed. Lost 2 quarts. Do you feel any damage was done? We had a similar text to this.
Certainly not. That's
like you said, there's some... Residual oil.
Lots more oil than that in the oil pan. So no, that did not hurt a thing. That'll be just fine.
All right, 651-989-9226. I got a text early this morning, Dan, about car repair shops and warranties. Do you guys have any kind of a warranty on your work that you complete?
We do for sure.
Okay,
yeah, it's depending on the type of work, 1 to 2 years.
On the
parts and, the labor usually kind of follows that unless something is different about it. But and then the good news is with our association with NAPA, for example, they have, if we got the parts from NAPA, they have a warranty that actually goes all over the country. So if you have your car fixed by me in St. Paul, and if you drive across the country and have trouble in Los Angeles
with that particular part,
or that even just the whole repair, not just the parts NAPA supplied, but with the whole repair, if trouble happens, then they'll take care of it out in California for you through NAPA, and so that's good to know. That's a slick program, and so there's lots of programs like that that are available, and it makes good sense to ask about that when you're having your car repaired. What is the warranty? How far does it reach? Is it just through you, or can I take it all the way across the country?
That's good. I don't think we've ever really talked about that before.
Yeah, no, that's good. Good to know. And, lots of people would have a warranty that they're probably not even aware of.
I bet.
If you have trouble, make sure you call where the car was repaired, because first off, we look forward to take care of problems that happened at our shop. We want to take care of them, or we'll certainly help you find somebody that will.
Thanks to the texter for that question. If you want to send Dan a text instead of a phone call, 81807. Speaking of phones, Andy is calling in from Marina, I guess. Andy, good morning.
Yeah, good morning, guys.
What can we do for you?
Well, I've called a couple times on my commuter car. It's a 1990 Cutlass Sierra, and ever since I bought it, the charge indicator, the alternator light, comes on when you turn the headlights on or when you have any heavy load on, even the rear defroster. It just kind of doesn't necessarily come on full brightness. Now, I've checked the battery, and with the vehicle off, the voltage is 12 3/4. The voltage when the car is running is about 14 3/4, so it's about right. Any suggestions as to like the circuit? Because it's fine. I've been driving it. I put like 6,000 miles in the last 3 months on it.
Right.
So
I think what is going on here is the alternator, while it's failing, is strong enough to keep up. So if the light doesn't bother you and you keep track of it, you know, keep it. For example, if the light, the alternator, the warning light starts to come on brighter, then you'll probably want to replace the alternator. But if everything stays the same, it's working, and it's probably not putting out as much amperage. While it's putting out the voltage that you need, it's probably underperforming in the amperage department. So if you had the headlights on and the rear window defroger and the heater on and all that, there's a chance that it might not be keeping up with that to keep the battery charged. But with your driving habits and with the amount of accessories that you're using, it's putting out enough to get you by, and that's probably just fine. The fact that the light is on is rarely do we find a problem anywhere else in the circuit. If the light is on, even dimly, most often that is in the alternator itself that's causing that light to come on. And most often also it's related that it's, while it's charging, it's not charging up to capacity.
Uh-huh. All right. So, there you go, Andy. Thank you. Mike in Maplewood is next on CCO. Good morning, Mike.
Hey, good morning, guys.
What can we do for you?
I have two problems. If it's related to my heat coming into my car, I have a 2013 Chevy Cruze, and every time I slow down or stop at a stop sign, the heat stops blowing. And then at least once a trip, I smell kind of an oily smell through the vents, and it's pretty strong, but then goes away after couple, 3-4 minutes.
Mm-hmm. And when you say the heat stops, it stops blowing or it stops blowing warm? It's blowing cold?
Yeah, sorry. It stops blowing warm air.
Okay, so it's...
It just blows cold air.
Yeah. What's probably going on there is your... The engine temperature is probably not as warm as it's supposed to be, as it needs to be to keep going. And when you're... When we have the engine RPM up high enough when you're driving down the road, the coolant is flowing through the heater core fast enough to keep it warm. But when you stop at a stoplight, the coolant is not flowing fast enough to keep the heater core warm, and that's why the air gets cool. So I think what you're probably going to need to do is replace the engine thermostat to get the engine warmer. You'll also notice you get a little bit better gas mileage when you do that. But at any rate, get the engine warmer, and you'll probably find that the heat improves. And if at a stoplight, every once in a while, you're smelling a little puff of oil, that's probably exactly what's happening, is you've got a little oil leak under the hood somewhere near where the air comes in for the heating system, which is on the back or, you know, near the firewall. And if you look for an oil leak, I bet you'll find one where a one little drop of oil on a hot exhaust pipe makes a big smell.
Does it really?
Yeah. So that's probably what's going on there. Fix the oil leak and get a new thermostat, and you'll be back in business.
Good deal. Bill in Lino Lakes is calling in this morning. Bill, what is your question, please?
Yeah, I had actually called in before on 2009 Mercury Milan shaking when it got up to 50 miles an hour. Mm-hmm. Had the U-joints and the front suspension arms changed, and it got a little worse. The guy said the drive shaft was out of balance and balanced it, and that made it better, but it's still there considerable.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you had said to change the drive, maybe get a new drive shaft.
Well, at least explore that. Yep, I think that's that would be the...
Okay.
Well, go ahead. What I'm thinking now is, you know, maybe you should get another opinion, because that's kind of one of those things that if a professional drives it, maybe you'll come across a guy that's seen that before or felt that before, and it'll be clear what it is. But I mean, if this guy's having trouble, maybe you should get another opinion. But at any rate, what did you find on the drive shaft, or did you have that replaced?
Well, the two questions I had, is this going to be harmful to the vehicle to wait to change that? And do you have to rebalance the drive shaft like a tire when you put a new one in?
No. The new drive shaft will come balanced. And I don't know. It depends how, you know, is it going to hurt anything else? You know, when something's shaking... or, you know, when you're feeling a vibration, that's not good. I mean, that causes wear and tear. So I'd hate to say that it's going to be fine, unless it's very minor. If it's very minor, then it probably will be fine. But I still think I'll go back to my original answer. If I was you, I would encourage you to go get another opinion. Have somebody else take it for a ride with you and see what's going on and see what somebody else thinks.
Yeah.
Sometimes just another set of eyes in life really helps, doesn't
it? Yeah. And Bill, if you do that, let us know down the road, pardon the expression.
Yeah.
If you can, we'd like to find out if that was the solution. All right, we need to take a real fast break. Kelly, you're going to be next. Then we'll grab some text messages for Dan. 651-989-9226. Text is 81807. Keep in mind, Dan Burns will be here till just about 7:45 this morning. So don't wait. Call or text here on CCO. We are in the midst of our car care show. Denny Long here with ASE certified technician Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive, located where now on Grant?
We are, is and always has been. At 982 Grand Avenue in St. Paul, right between Lexington and Victoria. You can find us on our new website. If you haven't visited the new website, go check it out. It's pretty cool.
It is.
LloydsAutomotive.net, LLOYDS, LloydsAutomotive.net. Or you can give Nick a call as soon as this morning at 8 o'clock at 651-228-1316.
Very good. Well, Dan, we promised Kelly West St. Paul would be first out of the chute here. Thanks for waiting, Kelly. What can we do for you?
I'm calling in response to a question last week about the difference between summer and winter gasoline.
Yes, sure.
And then it got into ethanol content. First, I'd like to address the three basic types of gasoline we have in Minnesota. We have E85, which is designed for flex fuel vehicles and is also used by some people in high performance engines because it's 105 octane. The ethanol content actually decreases in the wintertime to aid startability. So it's not E85 in the wintertime, it's more like E60 or E65 in the wintertime. Then the second category gasoline is the gasoline that most of us use, regular, mid-grades, and premium, and that is mandated by law to contain 10% ethanol all the time, and it never changes, summer or winter. It's always 10%. Then there's a third gasoline. By law, each station is allowed to have up to one pump that has non-oxygenated premium. It does not contain ethanol. But it's not the regular premium. It's just one special pump, and that's designed for older and antique vehicles and some older small engines. I personally don't see any need to use it because your fuel system has most likely been updated if the car's that old to be compatible with that small percent of ethanol.
Okay.
Now the question about winter versus summer. The difference between winter gasoline, the petroleum industry puts a lot more light ends and volatiles in winter gasoline to aid cold weather starting. These more volatile substances have less energy. So no matter, even if you kept some of that and ran it in the summer, you would get lower miles per gallon because winter gas has less energy because it has a lot more volatiles in it with less energy.
Okay.
So that's the answer to the question of summer versus winter.
All right. Good. Very good. That was quite the lesson.
I think he called on aviation fuel or something.
I think you're right. Yeah, yeah. He knows his stuff.
He certainly knows a lot about fuel. So that's that was way better explained than I was able to do. So
thank you, Kelly.
Thank you.
Appreciate that. Jack is calling from Andover in the meantime. Jack, thanks for waiting. What's your question?
Good morning. I have a 1998 Mercury Mountaineer that sits up at our cabin in Hackensack, and when we get up there in the garage, it starts perfect, it runs great, but as soon as the engine warms up and I shut it off, let's say for I go into a store and come out, then it hesitates to start on a longer period, but when the engine's cold, it ignites and starts immediately, and I'm wondering what's the deal with the warm-up?
Well, I wonder if you have a leaking fuel pressure regulator. It's a vacuum diaphragm, and after you shut the vehicle off for a few minutes, if it's leaking, a little bit of fuel leaks into the intake system on the car, and when you go to start the car, it's actually flooded. There's too much gas there. So one test that I'd recommend you trying when the next time you're in that situation where the vehicle would normally be hard to start, give it half throttle, which is giving it more air. If you give it half throttle and it starts normally, then I think it probably is flooded a little bit. And if you locate the fuel pressure regulator after you've started the vehicle and let it run for a minute and then just tap the vacuum line a little bit, you'll see if you see any fuel at all dripping out of it, then it has ruptured and it is leaking.
Okay.
So, that's on that vintage of a car, that was a common repair.
Was it?
We did those all the time where the vacuum or where the fuel pressure regulator was leaking.
There you go, Jack. Thank you. I want to alert Paul in Rochester. You're going to be next, so don't go away. We have to take a quick break, then we'll grab some text messages as well. All right, welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive is with us. We'll let you know from there how to get in touch with those good folks. In the meantime, Dan, we promised Paul in Rochester. Paul would be next up. Thank you, Paul. What is your question?
Good morning. You guys are great.
Thank you.
I've got a 2016 F-150. And about 6 months ago, when first starting to roll in the morning, it's got kind of a growl in the front end. It doesn't matter if it's in two-wheel or four-wheel drive. Doesn't matter if it's in gear. I can feel it a little bit in the steering wheel, and I'm wondering if it's power steering or brakes, or should I be concerned about it? I don't know what's going on.
You know, noises I always want to hear, but based on what you were saying as I was listening, my first thought was that you have a wheel bearing growling as you're driving around. So my first question would be, does it do it only when the vehicle's moving, or will it do it sitting at the stop light also?
It has to be moving.
Has to be moving, yeah. So now I'm back to my wheel bearing idea. I think that could be what is going on. If you get on a nice, smooth stretch of highway and it's making the noise and you pitch the steering wheel just a little bit to the left and a little bit to the right, if that noise changes significantly, then I would give you one more vote that a wheel bearing is going bad. And the third reason I'd give you it is that it's very common on that vehicle.
Is it?
We do replace a lot of those wheel bearings. So if you're in doubt, try the test I just told you. You know, pitch it a little bit to the left and right, see if the noises changes significantly. If it does, then I'd recommend swinging through a shop, asking one of the guys to go for a ride with you. We hear that noise all the time, and we're very good at identifying it. Mm. So somebody would be able to help you real easy on that.
Thank you.
All right, Paul, thank you. Thanks for listening. Appreciate the call. Text number is 81807. I don't want to forget our texters either, Dan. Here is one. 2012 Honda Accord V6. After returning home, very often I hear an obvious ping from under the hood. 20 minutes later, cool down. What do you think that pinging is coming from under the hood?
Well, I wonder if it's just the exhaust. You've probably heard this where you're as a any piece of metal. In fact, I heard it on my radiators last night in my house because it's so cold. But as metal heats and cools,
You'll
hear that little cracking, pinging noise. And if that's what it is, and it probably is, it's absolutely normal. Happens all the time.
All right, very good.
Turn the radio up and listen to WCCO more closely.
Mask that noise.
Yeah.
Texter says some pop was spilled into the HVAC controls on a 2000 Crown Vic. Controls died. Dumped water in the controls. Can't hurt, right?
Yeah.
controls resurrected but have failed again. Any thoughts?
Well, maybe you might want to get some help on that, because if I was to take the controls out of the vehicle and clean them on my bench with more of a solvent and then blow them dry, we have had good success with resurrecting that sort of stuff, but you're on the right track. And the other thing is, sometimes those HVAC controls, while it looks ominous to remove them, oftentimes it's not. Oh. Oftentimes it's just, you know, remove a little cover and four little screws and the whole thing sitting in your hand. So you might want to take it in and
not necessarily the end of the world.
Yeah, well, and as long as they have it out, if it doesn't work, then they can just order another one and repair it for you, too.
Let's get back to the phones, Dan. Bruce in Lamberton is calling in this morning. Bruce, what's your question for Dan?
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. Mm-hmm. I've got a 2016 Chevy Traverse, and after you drive it for a while, at least this is what we think is happening, after you drive it for an hour or so, if you have to stop and put gas in it, you can't get gas to go in the tank. I think it's fine by the next day. So what is going on with that?
Well, first of all, Lamberton's the town right next door to where my wife grew up in Walnut Grove, Minnesota. So
uh-huh.
Very familiar with Lamberton. But at any rate, you know, there's as part of your evaporative system, the system that keeps all the gas vapors in the engine, in the car, there can be no leaks in that system. It does self-test to test it to be sure that it's working properly. But one of the things that it needs to do is when you are putting fuel in the car, there's a vent valve that needs to open to let air out. You know, when you're filling any sort of bottle or something, and when as you put fluid in, the air needs to come out. And if your vent valve is not opening like it's supposed to, then you can't get fuel in. And I suspect that's what's going on. So if you take it into the shop, with my scan tool, I can operate that vent valve, turning it on and off and checking and seeing if it really is opening or not.
Okay.
But I would guess that that's not opening like it's supposed to, and that's the problem.
Very good. Good luck, Bruce. Thank you. I don't want to run out of time here. I want to help some more texters. 2003 Malibu, it randomly dies while driving. It restarts, but it happens frequently. A new battery was installed, and it continues. We've had it to two different mechanics, and they cannot recreate the problem. Any suggestions?
Well, that's a bummer when you can't recreate the problem.
So they brought it to two different places.
I'll tell you what I do. Here's when in a situation like that is I would hook up a whole bunch of equipment. I'd be checking for spark. I'd be checking for fuel pressure. I'd be checking for a signal at the fuel injectors to make sure that the fuel injectors are getting signal. And then I would go out and drive the vehicle. And sometimes that takes a while. You know, you say it happens frequently, but when it's in my shop and I take my normal little test drive, it pretty good chance it's not going to happen. So, but once I get all the equipment hooked up, maybe we'll use it, use the vehicle to run parts or whatever we have to do to spend the time to get it tacked up. Because when it finally fails, I need to know what ingredient is missing. And until I know that, it's just way too big to figure out. So I think you're just going to have to find the right shop that's patient enough to do the testing that you need done so that you can get to the bottom of it.
Dan, a texter wants to know, does Lloyd's Automotive allow walk-ins on a Saturday? The texter needs to replace a headlight.
Yes. I mean, certainly you can walk in anytime. I'm not sure how full we are.
That's true.
We'll see. But usually on a headlight, we can get that.
Doable.
Yep.
But we'll get you a phone number in a minute or two.
Yeah.
2006 Passat, impossible to get all, mainly the back sides and rear interior windows defrosted in the cold. They've changed the cabin filter with no additional success. Fan and heater are working fine. Your thoughts?
Well, as part of that, the air conditioning system runs in the defroster mode, so that is supposed to be drying the air out. And then the other thing I'm wondering is, does your heater core have a very, very small leak in it? And so as the air is blowing, is it actually getting more humidity in there because because there's a little bit of a coolant leak? And is that getting on the windows? So those are a couple of thoughts that are things you could check and see what's causing it. But the car is designed to have clear windows in this climate. And if it's not having clear windows, then something is wrong.
Yeah, okay.
It needs attention.
Here's one. I don't think we've had this before. Is it okay to bring my own parts to a mechanic?
Sort of not.
Yeah.
You know, the trouble, there's a couple of issues. One is, we're in the business of selling parts. So one of the places that we make a profit on is selling parts. So if you bring your own parts in, then we're not making that profit. So that's a deterrent for a reason that we wouldn't want to do it. And then the other reason is when I do a repair on your car, I want to warranty that repair. And if you bring your parts in, if you bring your own parts in, then I can't warranty my labor, and it puts you at risk. So I think because of the risk factor, you probably don't want to do that anyway. If you're going to pay me to repair your car, you probably want me to warranty it too.
Sure, makes sense.
The only way I can do that is with my own parts.
Yeah, makes sense. All right, well, thanks for the text. You know, we're just about out of time, and referring to that previous texter who wanted to know, you know, you're like a barbershop. Walk-ins welcome.
Yeah.
You accept, again, you don't know today how busy you are. But
well, you're always welcome at Lloyd's Automotive. So please stop in anytime and check with us. If we can't do it today or quickly for you, we'll figure out a time that we can do it. And
well, what's the info to get there?
I'm going to work this morning.
Are you?
I'll be an extra hand. So
okay, very good.
Yeah.
So you may be changing a headlight.
Pretty good chance I'll be changing a headlight, yeah.
How do we get in touch
with you?
You
can give us a call at 651-228-1316. You'll find us at 982 Grand Avenue in St. Paul, or you also can make an appointment online at lloydsautomotive.net, L-L-O-Y-D-S, lloydsautomotive.net.
All right, very good. Dan, have a good week. And Nick will be here next week.
Nick will be here next week. And I'm celebrating my 40th wedding anniversary.
Well, congratulations to you guys.
Who would have thought I'd have made it 40 years?
You and Linda from Walnut Grove.
Walnut Grove.
All right. Thanks, Dan. Good luck and congratulations.
Thank you.
All right.